walked like royalty, furs on her shoulders. Her man held her dress out of the mud for her. She did not look to the left or to the right, but only straight ahead, like she didn't care about anything. Things became even stranger when the lady stopped on her way into the shop, the front door of which Aniela herself was blocking, due to her own clumsy farm girl absent-mindedness, until she remembered to bend one knee in a rarely used curtsy and step out of the way. She half expected the footman to cuff her on the side of the head, or at least to hear angry words. But the footman didn't even notice her, and the Schlachtjanka was not angry. She paused, one booted foot on the step, and she looked Aniela up and down. Aniela was younger then, barely a woman yet, but the way this Panya looked at her seemed to suggest she thought she was older than she actually was. A rival, or even a threat, perhaps. That was ridiculous. Aniela would never think to compare herself to a woman who lived in a house separate from her animals, whose husband owned no less than 4 horses, who ate from china plates, who drank wine instead of vodka, who had a family pew at the front of the church, who was so close to God, in fact, that she even had her very own chapel on her estate, in case she didn't feel like worshipping amongst the great unwashed. Yet the woman's stare was not unkind. There was even the hint of a smile about her face as she said, in a haughty, refined Prussian dialect,
"This one imagines she's going places in life, doesn't she?"
That was when the smell of the furs had come to her nostrils as the woman swept past. To Aniela's nose, they smelled just like what they were, the dead skins of dead animals, worn for show, devoid of life, possibly home to several different kinds of insects, and, like so many other things in life, rather disappointing when viewed up close. Why had the Schlachtjanka said that about her? Aniela imagined no such thing about herself. She did not see herself as the kind of girl who would be going places. The furthest she could imagine was Poznań, a very long day's ride from the village. But why she would ever go there, she could not begin to fathom. She had never been to Poznań, except when she was baptized, which, of course, she did not remember, and she had no desire or reason to go there. Her entire life was there in the village, and on the farm just outside, where she lived with her parents, her 3 brothers, and her 2 sisters. Poznań had nothing to do with anything. All the more reason, then, to be amazed at the latest turn her life had taken. For here she was now in the hold of a ship that was the biggest thing she had ever seen, headed across the ocean for America, much farther than Poznań, and infinitely more frightening. She shook her head to clear it, and looked around again in the gloom of steerage, surprised to find herself back here after her momentary flight back to Poland, surprised and disappointed. She didn't know exactly where in the world she wanted to be right now, but she was quite sure she didn't want to be where she was. The ship itself was an experience never to be forgotten. It was so big that when she first saw it at the docks in Hamburg, she couldn't believe it was actually floating. It was 10 times bigger than the biggest building she had ever seen, bigger than the cathedral in Poznań, which was, according to her mother, the largest thing on the earth. Only through a tremendous act of will had she managed to quell the terror she felt as they crossed the quivering gangplank and stepped onto the deck. The ship bore the name of the man whom Poles hated more than the devil himself, Kaiser Wilhelm II. It was a cruel twist of fate that the vessel should be named for the very person from whose clutches they were being delivered— the man who had decreed that all Poles were animals and should either be Germanized or put down like dogs. A bad omen, to be sure. Aniela crossed herself and tried not to cry. She could hear her mother muttering under her breath, and she knew she was praying to St. Christopher, the patron saint of travelers. She had begun importuning this particular saint long before their journey began. The words failed to comfort her. They only served to convince her that something terrible was happening, for when else did anyone in her family pray out loud? Her terror had grown as they were promptly ushered into the dank netherworld of the steerage hold. This was where they were to stay, they were told. They were not free to wander.